If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 8:39. Idaho Talks Live. Chris Walton along with Jay Bates this morning. Paul J. still out on vacation for the final week of the year. Washington Post yesterday ran a story by Andrew Van Damme. I know you read it. Talking about how it's interesting. It says why people really want to move to Idaho but are fleeing its neighbor Wyoming.
I should point out that that Van Damme actually is a former Idaho Press Tribune reporter. That was one of his first jobs right out of college. So has some knowledge of the suspect or the subject here.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, now works for the Washington Post.
Yeah, I found it. I mean, it got shared all over the place, especially amongst the media echo chamber of Twitter. But it was interesting to hear that without really trying to do anything except being ourselves, we're growing faster than Wyoming to grow.
Basically, the article indicates that Idaho has made wise decisions. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know how many of those were planned. They just kind of turned out that way. Idaho, you probably know this. This came out in the news several days ago that Idaho is the fastest growing state in the nation. Now, it doesn't mean that we've gone up 30% or something like that. It's 2.2%.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more than any other state. And Wyoming, in the meantime, has lost 1.0%, or 1% of its population, which makes it 51st, and it included D.C. on that. Excuse me. And Wyoming has fewer people than Washington, D.C., by the way. But Idaho is the fastest growing state in the union. Half of its neighbors are in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, for instance, Utah, Nevada, Montana. All but one are in the top 13, and that one is Wyoming. It is dead last, 51st out of a possible 51, including D.C. Wyoming lost 1% of its population in 27, as Idaho was gaining 2.2%. On the surface, the two states appear to have much in common, especially if you've never lived in either one. They share a border, a birth month. They both became states in July of 1890.
Mm-hmm.
And even for a few brief months back in 1863, they were both included in the what was known as the Idaho Territory, and before Wyoming became its own territory. So why are so many people leaving Wyoming while Idaho booms? He says, for clues, look at the full ranking. The Pacific Northwest and Mountain West are extremely well represented at the top of the chart. Idaho is first, and it's followed by Nevada, Utah, Washington, then Florida, and Arizona, places to retire, and Texas, and then D.C., and then Colorado and Oregon are next. And then it goes a little further down, and there's Montana, and considerably farther down, you know, at 51st, as we said, is Wyoming. Wyoming falls below West Virginia, Illinois, because so many people are moving out of the Chicagoland area, and Alaska and Hawaii. That it's just gotten way too expensive.
The West Virginia thing I found interesting, and it was a main part of that article, was the two states' reliance on coal.
Exactly.
And how coal has really reshaped how those states are working economically.
Well, and it's because of resource dependence. And in the case of, as you said, both Wyoming and West Virginia, it's primarily coal mining. Wyoming has long been the nation's coal king. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
The vast operations of the Powder River Basin produce more coal than all but a handful of states put together, but cheap natural gas has reduced power plants' dependence on the mineral, and with it, its price and production, as has been discussed in the national media over the last 2 years a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Wyoming's mines are shipping out fewer tons of coal and, of course, getting paid less per ton, and that helps explain why the state went from the fourth fastest growing back in 2012 and D.C. was first that year, by the way, to rock bottom in 2017.
That's an interesting correlation that D.C. would be growing as well back then.
Yeah.
It's not like they have a lot of natural resources. Hot air, I guess. Plenty of hot air.
Yeah, if you want to fill balloons. Idaho, meanwhile, produces no coal to speak of, a little, but not much, and has no significant petroleum or natural gas reserves, according to the Department of Energy. There is some mining activity in the state, obviously, but it's small compared to neighbors such as Utah, Nevada, and Wyoming. Huge, big mine, big copper mine you can go see in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't always so. Gold rushes starting in the Civil War era were a defining feature of the Idaho Territory's early economy, as we know. In 1900, 10 years into each state's history, mining made up as much of Idaho's employment base as it did Wyoming's. But in the century to follow, Idaho's mineral wealth ran low, and it was forced to diversify, while Wyoming, on the other hand, would basically double down on coal.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back with more of this. It's 844.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
It's 849. Chris Walton along with Jay Bates today. Talking about the Washington Post article from yesterday morning that said people are wanting to move to Idaho for various reasons, but they are leaving Wyoming. We talked about the fact that Wyoming has had a powerful coal industry, as powerful as West Virginia, and that Idaho, while once a very, very heavy mineral mining state, does less of that now, and as such was kind of forced to diversify,
mm-hmm.
which we were kind of doing anyway, because, you know, different parts of Idaho, timber, agriculture, things like that. And, you know, business, factories. That whole thing gave Wyoming a powerful coal industry when they doubled down on coal. And median incomes are far above Idaho's. If you live in Wyoming, chances are you make more money doing the same job than somebody in Idaho.
Right.
However, it has also put the state's economy at the mercy of the boom and bust cycles that characterize the global commodity market and sapped incentives to build up a more robust local economy. Like Alaska and West Virginia, which also lost population in 2017, Wyoming is suffering from a tamer version of the resource curse, in which natural resource wealth actually harms developing countries because it crowds out important long-term investments in infrastructure, education, and industrialization. You dig or you don't. It's like the end of Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Resource-dependent states may see a population recovery in 2018 thanks to a partial recovery in energy prices, but that does nothing to break their cycle of dependence on global commodity markets. Across the border in Idaho, here where we live, the somewhat, the somewhat ironically nicknamed Gem State. No, it's not ironic. I mean, you can still find plenty of gems in Idaho, but it moved on from mines long ago, primarily mines, stepping first into agriculture and forestry and later into manufacturing, technology, and services, as I said. As its economy developed, Idaho's cities far outgrew their Wyoming counterparts. In 1890, Idaho's population was 1.3 times larger than Wyoming's. In 2017, it is three times larger. The Boise metro area alone is home to more people than in all of Wyoming. And Boise is comparatively booming. Most newcomers have settled in the capital and the cities and suburbs surrounding it, compounding the state's urbanization advantage. And they appear to be drawn by Boise's combination of size and low cost of living. Idaho has the fourth cheapest cost of living in the country, according to a 2017 index from the Council for Community and Economic Research. The only cheaper places are Arkansas, Kentucky, and Mississippi. Wyoming is 29th. It's the tired old parable of two siblings separated at birth. One began with natural gifts and found little incentive to grow beyond them. That would be Wyoming. And another was forced to play a weaker hand but became stronger and more resilient in the process. And that gets to be Idaho.
Yeah.
And he ends it by saying there's probably a moral in there somewhere, but I'm guessing all it is you should probably move to Idaho.
It is, you know, I remember this from 2 or 3 years ago, just to give it some context. Do you remember when Wyoming was stealing all of our teachers? Because they
I do. I remember when, because you could get paid more in Wyoming
by far
to teach than in Idaho. I do remember that story.
So I wonder how that shakes out now as their economy is starting to falter because of the collapsing coal.
Well, supposedly the salaries are still higher in Wyoming, But, you know, if people are moving out of the state, then you probably end up needing fewer teachers.
Yeah. Smaller class sizes.
Becomes
win-win for the teacher.
Unless you end up with like 8 kids per class or something.
Yeah. Well, I guess it would be much easier to teach 8 kids in the class.
And that is a possibility. I don't know. I just find this interesting that Idaho, first of all, that Idaho is the fastest growing state in the union. I guess I don't know what else would be necessarily.
I believe it was Utah last year, which I've noticed. It talks about it in there about being the Pacific Northwest, but I would call it the Intermountain West. It's always been that Utah, Nevada, Idaho corridor. We are, as we all know, a very attractive place to move from everywhere else.
Well, and people do move to Arizona a lot.
Right.
Because they spend, you know, a lot of retirees go there as well as Florida, simply because they spend their entire lives in places that get really, really cold, and they don't like it. Really, really cold.
I would be interested. I run into more and more people that have moved here.
Yeah.
And there are, of course, always going to be those people like, oh, California, let's go home. But I'm always curious.
Usually those are the people who are from California.
I am curious of the people who, did you move here?
They believe that the door should have been shut behind them.
Yeah. I mean,
I knew somebody who moved here from California in 1970 and seriously for the next 40 years did pretty much nothing but complain about people from California.
Yeah. The people that I know that have moved here from California are the ones that say there's a reason I left.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
I think the reason for a lot of people, especially down in the Bay Area, but to a lesser extent down in Los Angeles, is because they owned a home that originally they had purchased for $10,000, and then they sold it for $850,000 and moved up here and bought the same size house for probably $150,000
right.
or something at the time. It depends on when they showed up. It's more now.
I get the real estate flip part. I think there's obviously some politics to it as well, you know. There's a fleeing number of people.
Very, very possibly. And there are people who simply, see, I don't know, because Boise is described by people as it's a growing city, but it has never become a big city with big city problems.
Right.
And by that, I mean some big city problems. I mean, obviously there are problems here, like there are any place. But, you know, it's not like a New York problem or a Philadelphia or Chicago or Los Angeles or something of that nature. There are other problems, and they are more in line with simply places that grew up as suburbs.
Yeah, and I reject the notion that people moving to our state bring those problems with them. I think that they come here to flee those problems.
Yeah. However, you know, some people show up with problems no matter where they're from. It's 8:56. We're going to come back and talk about selfies and how important it is to take selfies, at least according to some people.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOY News Time is 9:06. This is Idaho Talks Live. Chris Walton with Jay Bates this morning. Got an instant message from Patrick of Caldwell talking about what we're talking about last half hour. He says, come on, Chris, open your eyes. Boise is in dire straits. You don't have nearly enough bike lanes, and don't even get me started on the lack of affordable parking, which begs the question, why would the Parks Department buy a parking garage and tear it down to build another worthless park? Get out while you can. The end is near.
Do you think he was being sarcastic? Possibly.
That's entirely possible.
You could actually read that both ways, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I have heard many people complain about the parking garages.
That's the trouble a lot of times with instant messages, tweets, and anything like that. Occasionally, people are being extremely sarcastic, and you can't tell one way or the other.
There should be a font.
With Patrick, I'm going to go ahead with yes.
Yeah. If you use Comic Sans, we know you are sarcastic. That'll be the way that we do it.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah. All right, so we talked earlier about headlines that we never thought you would see.
Yeah, and I mentioned that because there was the one that said, topless protester tries to grab baby Jesus, and I thought, okay, there's a headline I did not anticipate.
So this one jumped out at me this morning.
Yeah.
Selfie deaths now outnumber those caused by shark attacks.
Selfie deaths.
Yep. So let's just do the math on that for a minute.
All right.
The University of Florida has come out.
They would know about shark attacks.
Yep. They actually count the number of shark attacks every year, and they say that last year that there were 8 shark deaths in the world.
Okay.
Meantime, it has become this popular thing in Russia for teens to climb very tall skyscrapers and bridges and snap selfies of themselves. And they've already had 8 people die there. So now we're at a tie. Jaws versus Russian teens taking selfies. Okay.
So they climb to the top of these buildings or towers.
Yep.
And get themselves into a position where they take an interesting selfie, but could possibly fall to their death.
Correct. And you see the appeal,
I have never wanted a picture of anything that badly in my entire life.
Well, what's interesting is you could just chalk that up to, oh, those silly Russian teens, right? Nope. Here's where selfie deaths gets pushed ahead.
Okay.
There is also a trend among American hikers to snap a selfie when they see a bear. To do so, you would have to have your back turned towards the bear. Do you see where I'm going there?
One would assume, yeah.
So what we're saying
is, if you wanted your face in the picture.
Yeah, you've basically taken a picture of your own menu for the bear, because the bear then chows you down. So there's been 2 deaths that way.
See, I feel like this is one of those evolutionary things that will work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, there won't be any people left who would like to have their picture taken in front of a bear.
Well, I think that eventually the math is not going to catch up.
Yeah.
Because before we've even factored in the fact that there are people driving and taking selfies.
Yeah, okay.
Suddenly the number jumps.
And that's a bad idea as
well. Yeah. There was also a Singapore man who fell down a staircase at the Taj Mahal and died when he snapped a selfie of himself. So the only thing left is to snap a selfie just before the shark attacks you, I guess.
Wow. So you've combined the 2 comparisons.
Fair when you like say it. Hashtag YOLO, you mean it.
You take selfies?
No.
I have this tendency to take pictures of things, but I'm not in the picture.
I will say
now,
this.
Part of that is probably because I don't know a single angle where I won't block everything behind me.
As I have, grown into fatherhood and have a toddler,
yeah.
I do take selfies, usually with him.
Okay.
In some way to send to grandparents, to send to his mother, things like that. So I guess I end up in a few selfies.
See,
that way.
Those seem less like selfies and more just like, I don't know, group pictures that you took without a photographer.
Yeah, it's hard to frame me out of it when you're holding a toddler at the same time.
Okay.
Is, I guess, how I would justify my selfies.
The thing about taking a picture in front of a bear.
I love that. I wish again, that we still had the TV cameras to see how perplexed you are.
What's that called? Photoshop or... I mean, I'm not
Snapchat.
No, it's where you can change the background of a picture, things like that. I mean,
Photoshop.
That's photoshopping, right? Okay, I don't particularly do that. I've never gotten into that sort of thing. But would it not make more sense, longevity wise, to Photoshop a bear into the back of a picture?
Yeah.
As opposed to actually taking a picture in front of a bear.
Well, they do say that you're not supposed to run from the bear.
Yeah.
But I don't think you necessarily want to,
a
filter on it.
And I think this is maybe just like 2 years ago, there was a report out of Yellowstone that people were, and I knew people did this anyway. This is why they moved the bears into the backcountry in Yellowstone to begin with, because people just thought it was fun to play with wild animals. And they'd see like a bear, they'd see a bear cub. And do something completely stupid. My mom and dad went to, before I was born, they went in the late 50s to Yellowstone Park. And there was a guy who had found a mother bear and cubs. And he had pushed the mother bear into his own car with his wife and kids in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And was trying to take a photo of the bear with its hands on the steering wheel. And apparently, for some reason, this bear was not ripping him to shreds.
I was going
to
say,
at this particular moment,
he found the kindest bear ever.
But the way my dad tells the story, and they were watching this, and the park ranger came up, and when he was done talking to the guy was about an inch tall, because he essentially was telling him he was, the stupidest person who had ever walked on the face of the earth. However, people still, you can still see the bison.
Yeah.
Fairly close to the roads
there was
and things like that. And people are like having their children go out into a pasture to an open field. It's not really a pasture, but go out into a field where there are bison.
Get closer.
And have their picture taken standing in front of the bison, as if the bison are a statue of a bison.
Right. There was that father-son duo that put the baby bison in the back of their car to take it to the forest rangers because they felt bad that it was out in the cold.
Yeah. Did they end up having to...
That did not go well either.
Go to their insurance company as well? Because
I think everything worked out, but there was something about the calf return to the herd.
Seen what a deer who comes to life can do to the inside of a car.
All right, let's go to line two, Dell in Weezer. Dell, good morning. You're on 670 KBOI.
Good morning, Chris. Listening to your conversation of the previous hour, the thing I think that you really forgot about is Idaho's long and enduring natural resource is its water. The water brought about potatoes. The water brought about all of the agriculture, from onions to corn to beef cattle, dairy cattle, long before it got into other areas.
You make a very good point. I mean, I grew up in the Magic Valley in Twin Falls, and anybody who knows the history of the Magic Valley knows that the reason it exists at all is simply because the people who founded it figured out how to irrigate it.
Yeah, and not only that, the power that Idaho Power generates from the 14 or so installations they have is one of the long and enduring uses of natural resources. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of power that made available Morrison Knudsen's development of the construction of train cars and engines.
Right.
It certainly is all the power that Micron has and uses to develop their products, and just about every other thing you can think about in the whole state of Idaho.
You're absolutely right. I was talking about agriculture, which depends on water, but I was talking about timber and mining and things like that. But we do owe a lot of the commerce in this state to the existence of that natural resource of water,
which is a sustainable energy resource, unlike coal, which is where Wyoming is finding its issues.
Yes, right. I was interested in all your comparisons, except that I thought, whoops, wait a second, you kind of missed the absolutely most important thing that has caused the expansion of the entire northwestern United States.
Yeah, and you're right about that.
Power from Columbia River that has driven all of the things from the development of the nuclear facilities at Hanford to all of the Boeing in Washington, and just about every place you look, it's really the
water everywhere.
is the long and enduring one. It doesn't fluctuate like coal. Coal will come back in time, but water will continue on. So,
all right, thank you, Dell. Appreciate you calling in.
It's 9:16. We'll be right back.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI. He came from somewhere back in
how long ago. We should debate that sometime. Did you like the Doobie Brothers better before or after Michael McDonald?
Who?
Okay, then maybe we shouldn't debate it. Maybe
after.
Okay, after. There we go. Todd knows. Tom Johnson.
Michael McDonald was in the Doobie Brothers? When?
Yeah. Starting with like that song that you just heard, What a Fool Believes, that album anyway. But before that, Tom Johnston was the lead singer, and that's when they did Blackwater and all those cool songs.
Yeah, Tom was out for about a year because he had an ulcer.
Yeah.
So then they brought in
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, exactly.
Who stayed for the most part for a long time.
This is every bit as foreign to me as when my kids try to talk to me about One Direction breaking up. I have no idea what you two are talking about.
Classic rock, man.
See, I even know who One Direction are. Because, they were on...
It was the one with the hair.
Well, they were on that show, Singing Contest or whatever, in England. I think it's the same one that...
boy band
Susan
kind of thing?
Boyle was on, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They were competing to see who would win, you know, and get this record contract and be a big star. And it came down to these five guys who were all good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's his name with the tight shirts that was the...
Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell, yeah. He decided to just put them together as a boy band.
Huh.
And they were very successful for a couple of years. And one of them left, Zayn, Z-A-Y-N. And now they've all had...
Now they've all left.
Well, they haven't all left completely. It's like... It's more like the Eagles than it would be the Beatles. You know, they didn't just declare it a divorce and break up for good. You know, they go off, they do solo albums, and then they come back and probably at some point tour again as a group.
Your musical knowledge never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah. Well, we have a rewards code today, as we usually do, and today's rewards code is SELFIE, S-E-L-F-I-E. As I understand it, since it's a reasonably new word, there are still people out there spelling it S-E-L-F-Y. But we spell it S-E-L-F-I-E.
That is the correct spelling.
Yeah, and I think Webster's or Funkin' Wagnalls or somebody has recognized that at some point.
All right, let's go to Jim in Boise, who's been holding. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, how's it going?
Pretty good, how are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. First off, you know, you were talking about how to spell selfie. Well, I was going by a marquee at Vista Shopping Center, and there was a barbershop advertising said something like, lose the hippie look. Anyway, spelled hippie with a Y. I thought about going in there and saying it's spelled with an I-E.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, speaking of selfies, I've got this interesting story. Now, we know how technology is doing its best to splinter human contact. Well, anyway, a few years ago, my brother and I were on this cruise, and we were sitting, you know, around the swimming pool. A lot of people having a lot of fun. There were about six or seven people at our table, and there was this young couple, and this guy was taking a selfie of he and his girlfriend. And so I said to this guy, I said, have you ever thought about asking a complete stranger to take your picture? He said, no, well, I will. Would you? You know. So I took his picture, and then we had a nice little conversation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so, I mean, he never would have thought of that. And so, anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, now, on a ship is a good place to do that because they can't technically, like, run away with your camera.
True.
I think that is a fear in many places is that they'll just take off with your phone.
And that's been in several movies where, you know, somebody has given somebody a camera. Like, I remember European Vacation with Chevy Chase. It was in that one where they handed somebody a camera and said, will you take our picture? And the guy got them all posed and everything and then just took off running.
Speaking of that, what did you think? There were three of them. A trilogy. What did you think of those National Lampoon Vacation? Which ones did you like the best and all that?
Christmas Vacation is my favorite, probably followed by the original Vacation, and then maybe a tie with European and Vegas Vacation.
Well, I thought that my favorite was Regular Vacation and then Christmas Vacation. I thought that European Vacation was flat. I thought it just was not funny myself.
I'm pretty sure that that's checks.
That's why it's tied for third with
So anyway, I just wanted to tell you all my selfie story, and you know, try to contact actual humans when possible. They might actually like it.
All right,
you make good points, Jim. 9:26. We'll be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
.9 36, Idaho Talks Live. If you'd like to make a comment or be part of the discussion this morning, 208-336-3700. That is the local number, 208-336-3700. Don't forget, you do have to dial the 208 now, or not dial, but you know, the other, whatever you do. Anyway, dial, that's old. Outside the area, 1-800-529-KBOI, which is 1-800-529-5264, #670 if you have a Verizon wireless phone. You can also send us an instant message. Do that by going through our KBOI website, which is 670KBOI.com.
And Randy in the Magic Valley is joining us. Was it a 208 or an 800 number that brought you to us, Randy?
336-3700.
Oh, there you go.
Well, 208.
Right. Old school.
Well, I grew up in Jerome, and I didn't know Chris was from Twin.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Sorry, I thought I'd mentioned that before.
I'm just short of psycho some days, so he probably seen me driving down the road, and he goes, oh, my gosh, there's that crazy guy. Oh, I'm joking. You know, the gentleman that brought up water, I grew up on a farm north of Jerome, and I farmed for years, and I'm a contractor now. And, you know, if you understand farmers, ranchers, dairymen, they love the land, they love their animals, and they're as conservative, they're conservationists. And when we busted this thing out of the brush in the early 1900s, nobody cared. Nobody did anything. The government gave us, you know, the homesteads, and people went out there and they decided whether or not they were going to be able to make it or not. And then they went ahead and diverted the water, made canals, laterals, you know, coulees, ditches. It's a billion-dollar industry. If you run from Idaho Falls all the way over to Boise, the amount of ag that goes on is alarming, and it's what we are. And when we talk about water and recharge, you understand what recharging the aquifer is, don't you, gentlemen?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, it's an issue. And last year we had so much water, and we're still trying to get the infrastructure in place to get that back in there. And so you run it out into lava areas or wherever you can, and it percolates down this, you know, and then the earth cleans it. Mm-hmm. It ends up in the aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that really is, you know, makes me mad is that whether or not you agree with me or not, I don't know, but the Bureau of Reclamation, the environmental influence in D.C. forces us to run 250,000 acre feet. That's 250,000 acres a foot deep of water down the river, no matter whether or not we have extra water or not, for the fish. Now, I understand that there's a situation there, and I know that there's pros and cons about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had 250,000 extra acre feet of water, would it not be more prudent to recharge it? Because that's the goal.
Yeah, a little deep drainage wouldn't be bad.
Right. The goal is to recharge 250,000 acre feet a year, to recharge the aquifer. And so, in essence, we can run it down to the ocean, or we can recharge it into our aquifer. And
right.
I realize there's lots of pros and cons about it, but in the end, I love animals and everything, but, you know, we have to save the aquifer. So I'll hang up, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Randy.
That. Well, and he makes a pretty good point about that, simply because of how important agriculture is to all of southern Idaho.
Yeah, I think that you're into unintended consequences, however, if you choose recharging the aquifer versus the wildlife situation.
If you take all of it.
I mean, suddenly the ripples, no pun intended,
wouldn't go far
and wide.
But I don't know. I mean, it's obviously the recharging is a good idea. And it's like he said, it's you're basically you're restocking the groundwater, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's what it's kind of what keeps southern Idaho, as far as, you know, the fertile land and whatnot. So
this is fifth grade science, and it's been a while for me, but if the water runs to the ocean evaporates to the clouds rain, doesn't that do the same thing?
Well, ideally, yes.
Okay. Just my thoughts on the water cycle.
I mean, okay, but neither one of us is an engineer.
No,
so let's just.
I'm not a hydrologist by any means.
Let's just say there are probably people who are better poised to make those decisions than we. Just, you know, no offense, obviously.
Yeah, I'll stick to decisions like don't take a selfie in front of a bear. I'm comfortable with being an expert in that one.
Was there any more to that story about the selfie? I mean, obviously, the thing about climbing to the very tip top of
I am fascinated by that Russian teens have done that.
Well, I mean, I couldn't do that anyway. I mean, I can't climb to the tip top of a stepladder and be comfortable.
I'll show Todd. You can see. Look at that picture. Are these kids crazy or what? They're, I mean, on this massive,
yeah, very
massive
high in the air,
whatever it is, and taking a picture down.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. Well, you could see why there'd be deaths that way, I suppose.
That'd be like out in South Dakota or something and climb a radio tower. However, people have to do that.
Yes.
You know, where there aren't any mountains or anything. Well, there are in South Dakota.
I guess that begs the question, if you're a professional at that,
yeah,
and you take a selfie.
Well, I guess. I would guess most radio engineers that have to climb more than 1,000 feet up a tower probably don't bother to take a selfie. They just get done what they have to get done and come on down.
Yeah, well, I would want to keep both hands on the ladder at that point.
TV engineers, too. Well, cell phone engineers, even.
The big wind turbine,
guys.
How
many things require engineers. It's 943. Give us a call, 208-336-3700. We'll be right back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul, Jay, and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
Chris Walton with Jay Bates in this morning. Well, we talk a lot about on this show about stupid criminals or just weird crime stories for which odd things for which people get into trouble. And somebody has put together a list of the best ones of or the weirdest ones anyway of 2017. There was a guy who chomped on. He was at a wake and he chomped on a fellow mourner's nose during a brawl that started because it was one of those wakes where everybody's drinking. And he was sentenced to 6 months in jail because basically he tried to chomp the guy or bite
his nose off.
Yeah, bite the guy's nose completely off.
So that toddler threat that you make all the time, I'm going to bite your nose.
Yeah. A television crew filming a report in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Albuquerque crime got stalled last June when somebody stole their vehicle. This was KOB television.
Mm-hmm.
The team soon found the locked SUV by tracking its GPS, but the thief had taken the keys. So they were late with their report, I think.
That actually is more common than you'd think. A lot of the big city stations have unmarked TV vehicles for that reason.
Just for that reason, okay.
People will steal the cameras and then, you know, fence them.
Well, and the reason to mark them is, you know, for advertising. Hey, we're on the spot. We're on the scene. Come back with that.
Hey, there's a $20,000 camera in the back of this
SUV. Exactly. Well, there was. Police charged a California man with burglarizing a home based on key toilet evidence while checking a Thousand Oaks residence in 2016. Officers, basically, here's the deal. The guy had burglarized a home and had stopped to go to the bathroom and hadn't flushed. And so they matched his DNA and he was toast, so to speak.
Crime scene investigation.
Yeah.
I've never wanted to have the evidence collection job worse.
Yeah, well, that's true. A mother arrested for pulling a gun after insisting her son's haircut was taking too long. This was in Cleveland, Ohio, at a barber college.
My guess was Florida, but okay.
Last April, and she got 6 months for pulling a gun. Calmed by another employee, Andrea Smith was arrested after leaving with her children when her 7-year-old's hair trimming was finished. She pleaded guilty in October to menacing, child endangerment, and carrying a concealed weapon, which she didn't have a permit for, apparently.
Ohio, the Florida of the Midwest.
Yeah. Somebody at least got a ticket for... There was a restaurant employee who called 911 because somebody had used the bathroom in their restaurant and had not flushed.
This seems to be a theme in our crimes of 2017.
Well, and the part about that is you aren't supposed to call 911 to report things that really aren't a crime or that police shouldn't be bothered about.
I feel like that's a crime against humanity, though.
Well,
I mean, please flush,
that's
people.
That's true.
We've all been in that public bathroom.
It's probably at most a misdemeanor against humanity. A suspected burglar's shoes were found in October after a woman in Calgary in Canada reported scaring off a burglar with her screaming when she awoke and saw a man standing over her bed. Filmed by a surveillance camera while running away, the intruder, who was in his socks, also faces charges for stealing undisclosed kitchen items. So this was a weird break-in anyway. It's like you hear about those things where a guy breaks into a house, makes himself some food, and then leaves.
Yeah. So I know that you probably don't have a lot of details there, but I wanted to get into the thought process.
I don't have any more details than what I just told
you. So he took his shoes off when he entered the house.
I guess so.
Okay.
All right. So I don't know whether he was Japanese or just...
didn't want to get mud on the carpet?
He was considerate, I mean, except for the part about breaking in.
stealing their kitchen stuff.
He was somewhat considerate.
He needed an apple corer.
Yeah. After arresting a snoozing 46-year-old who a homeowner found covered in Doritos chips near a half-eaten pizza on November 20th, police in the town called Coatbridge tweeted, "He woke up in cuffs," because they put them on him. Mm-hmm. "But this was not the first time an accused burglar was found sleeping on the job. Among several American cases, a cleaner reported finding a man dozing in Florida in a town called Nokomis beside a bag of stolen jewelry."
Hmm.
He had put the, he had taken all the jewelry from the house and put it in a bag and then stopped and decided he would take a nap.
I guess
sometimes I think people are either high or drunk when they burglarize a house.
It's interesting that you say that. There is so actually a minor problem in State College, Pennsylvania,
yeah,
with students falling asleep in other people's houses because as they are staggering home from said fraternity party, bar, whatever, they go to the wrong house and fall asleep. And
for some reason, the door is unlocked.
Yeah, the police, well, it's State College, Pennsylvania. And yeah, the police there have a minor issue with the students waking up in the wrong place.
For spraying gasoline and threatening to torch motorist Tammy Donovan, who told her to butt out or put out her cigarette, that is, while fueling her vehicle, a Pennsylvania motorist received a 2 to 6 year prison sentence. 51-year-old Kimberly Brenton pleaded guilty in May, also in Pennsylvania, to risking a catastrophe plus unrelated drug charges while trying to leave her car to alert Dandy Mart staff. Donovan broke her arm after slipping on the puddled fuel. A lot of things went on here. Brenton fled, was arrested after police viewed surveillance footage of the gas attack. So the person said, okay, you can't have your cigarette lit while you're standing there pumping gas.
Right.
And so she pulled out the gas pump and shot gasoline at the other lady, attempting to set it on fire. By which I mean the area.
I feel like that's more than a misdemeanor. Yeah.
There was a thief who proposed marriage with a 91-year-old woman's stolen engagement ring, and he was sentenced in July to 4 years. In Birmingham, burglar Stephen Reed's girlfriend recognized the gold ring following a police appeal for stolen jewelry after two thieves ordered the 91-year-old woman to stay in bed while they ransacked her home. And then they showed the stolen jewelry on television. Mm-hmm. The lady who had just received it as a marriage proposal. Let's put it this way. They didn't get married.
Yeah. I think that that's a relationship not built on trust at that point. Yeah.
A Georgia couple who pummeled a restaurant owner and her daughter after complaining about cold chicken and too few French fries were left cooling their heels in jail while awaiting sentencing. Named in arrest warrants, they surrendered 13 days after surveillance footage of the Quick Chick assaults in Baxley, Georgia, were aired on television. Owner Jeanette Norris refunded their money last June, but told them she called police after they kept cursing and pounding on her takeout window. She had given them their money back, and they didn't. They weren't satisfied with that. And there's just one more, and it was about a guy who picked up a potato and threw it at another guy, and it did something to him and actually killed him.
What?
The moral of that is don't throw things at people.
No.
Even a potato. 9:55. We'll be back tomorrow. Jay Bates, Todd with 1D, me, Chris Walton. We'll talk to you then.